Well, good morning. As the praise band is exiting, I want to tell you some of the exciting developments that are going on. You may have noticed a couple of things. The words look a little different. The sound might be a little bit different. We've got some new equipment in that we're experimenting with. And for a couple of weeks, it might look like we're taking a couple of steps backward, but it's going to be a huge step forward. So stay tuned. Amazing things are happening. Thank you, praise band. Let's give them a hand. They don't get a lot of credit. That is so awesome. I know what's coming, and I can barely contain myself, but I'm going to have to because you just have to wait and see. But it's going to be good, right? And so I was out last week. I also want to say thank you to everybody who filled in for me. Jaron, thanks for doing the announcements. That was awesome. You would think that I would tell them the first thing to talk about was a QR code, but no, I did not. So, sorry, I set you up, brother. You did wonderfully. And hey, the place didn't burn down, so no one is indispensable. Thank you for covering for me, and I made it back out of the woods, so to speak. All right, so hey, we're here today. That's the important part. And I want to start with a question. I want to pretend like you're a pastor for just a second. And I want you to pretend that you started a church in your own house with just a handful of people. And over the years, you developed this church until it grew into a mega church. 6,000 people would come on a Sunday. You became so popular that you were talked to with every podcast. You have bestsellers. You have all kinds of things. People are inviting you to seminars everywhere. And your 6,000 member congregation is thriving in this atmosphere. And you walk away from it. Why would someone do that? Isn't that the mark of success? Isn't attendance and budget the marks of success of a church?
No.
Oh, we must have missed something. But this guy didn't. Stay tuned. It might have something to do with what we're talking about today, which is the apostolic aspect of the apest. So if you've been with us for the last few weeks, we've been covering the different puzzle pieces. And you'll notice with the cool graphic that we have, now that all the puzzle pieces are connected, the cross comes alive and it's glowing. Ooh, ah, right? When I get a little bit better at this, it will pulse at you, right? Yeah. But now we have all of it. We have talked previously, well, I can put it up here. We can actually show you what we've talked about. We talked about being a whole church. This is based on some of the Alan Hirsch's work on called the 5Q. And the 5Q are these five quadrants that he says Jesus demonstrated while he was here on earth and then has handed to the church. So for us to fully function into what Jesus calls us to be as a church, we need to operate in these five quadrants. Now, does that mean that you have to operate in all five quadrants? No. Say, if you've been paying attention, no. When we come together, we form these five quadrants, just like these puzzle pieces. And the apest stands for apostles, prophets. What's the E?
Evangelism.
S?
Shepherds.
Good. That was just last week. I was going to have to tell Pastor Eric. Y'all did good. And then finally, T?
Teaching.
Is teaching. Right. So all of those things come together. Today, we're talking about the apostolic. Does anybody know who I'm talking about when I describe that mega pastor?
Jesus.
That's a good guess. It's this guy. Anybody know who this is? Francis Chan, right. You've probably seen his videos. You've probably seen him on YouTube or Right Now Media, or maybe you've read his book, Crazy Love, among other bestsellers. That's a true story. He formed a church in California, grew to 6,000 members, and back in 2010, he began to ask himself, is this really what church is all about? Because when he had that small group in his house, they were active, they were engaged, they were out in the community, they were hungry, they were growing in their faith. When it came to 6,000 people, it was more about the entertainment. Did people come to hear good music? Did people come to be entertained by a message? But where was the mobilization that used to be? And was that what he should be spending his efforts on? So with a lot of prayer and a lot of talk to his elders board, he said, you know what? I'm stepping out of this 6,000 member church. There was no plan going forward. There was no like, oh, and then I've got this other thing I'm going to. He said, no, I just know that this isn't it. And I know God is calling me elsewhere. And I'm going to go find out what that is. So he ended up traveling abroad. He did some ministry in Hong Kong. He went to Thailand. He went to all these different places. And then COVID hit. And then... And so he has started a network to train people to do house churches. That's what he's doing right now. And if you have the e-news in your inbox, yes, I'm pretty savvy that way. If you have the e-news this week, one of the things that's coming up this Friday is called Gather 25. And it's going to be 25 hours of prayer around the world. And you can tune in at 7 p.m. this Friday. You can watch it online. You can get together with groups. Read the e-news. The website is there, gather25.com. Guess who one of the major forces is behind that movement? That guy, Francis Chan. Yeah. So as he began to talk, he said, you know, I think the most important thing is that people actually grow in their faith and they engage in their faith and they're mobile with their faith. And so that's why he decided to step out and start equipping people to have these home church environments. So it's a very apostolic thing to do. We're going to explore what that means and why it's important and why we have to have that in our mindset, even here at Union Chapel. It's true. So there we go. It becomes the difference between mission and maintenance. I know this is an eye chart for you, so let me help you out here. The difference between mission and maintenance, we're going to look on the left-hand side at five different areas. Actually, six. My math isn't so good. Aspect, focus, leadership approach, resource allocation, growth measure, and risk tolerance. All right, so those are the areas that we're looking at when we compare. Are we a maintenance church or are we a mission church? One of those is apostolic. I'm going to let you guess which one. All right. So a maintenance church, its focus is on preserving traditions and structures. Now, I have to pause here and say, I know we're the contemporary crowd. We have all these forward-leaning ideas. Are we abolishing traditional worship?
No.
Absolutely not. No, it's not traditional worship. It's traditions that have lost their edge. It is traditions that aren't producing disciples. If it's a tradition that's not gaining you any momentum, then maybe it's time to relook at that. But traditional worship is not that. It's thriving over there. People are people are growing in their faith because of that. That's the important thing. So no, we're not abolishing. I want to say this up front. We're not trying to abolish traditional worship. Did you hear that?
Loud and clear.
Okay, good. It's the traditions that no longer produce disciples. That's what we're talking about. If you come down to the mission church or come across, it's all about reaching the unchurched or fulfilling the Great Commission. There's two new categories that we have to throw into that unchurched these days. There's another category called de-churched. Have you heard of de-churched? De-churched is where they have been to church, but they had a bad experience. And so they have separated themselves from church, and they no longer go. They are de-churched. And oftentimes when I talk to people who have left the church, and I say, can you help me? I'm trying to learn. What can we do better? And usually it's they had a problem with someone in the church. To which I always ask them, well, was your problem with a guy named Jesus? No, it was this person. Okay, well, then your problem is not with the faith. Your problem is with this particular person. Have you talked to that person? Would you like me to help try and reconcile? Because your problem isn't with Jesus. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Jesus is still good. That's the de-church. There's also another category called the nuns, and I don't mean habits and dresses and all that stuff. I mean N-O-N-E, nun. They have no religious affiliation. They are deeply spiritual. They're looking, they're searching, because why? That's the way God wired us. We're always looking for that thing that's underneath the hood, but they just aren't necessarily finding that in Christianity. Now, if they're introduced in the right way, they're more than willing to listen. And this is the best news for us, because we talked about evangelism and now we're talking about apostleship. This is the best news. We have a new generation that is deeply spiritual and willing to listen. Who's willing to talk? See, that's the question we ought to be asking ourselves. And not just who's willing to talk, but how are we reaching into their world, meeting them where they are? Instead of saying, look, we built this building. If you just build it, they will come. If that were true, those denominational statistics that I showed you 4 weeks ago would not be headed in this direction. That's not true. If you build it, they won't necessarily come. They'll come because there's something that they feel they need. There's something connection that has been made. And that connection has to start here before it can get here to be effective. That's my plea for us to take ourselves seriously as well. All right, I'm going to go through the rest of these pretty fast. Leadership approach. In a maintenance church, it is very centralized. In a mission church, it's very decentralized. Do you remember 3 weeks ago when I said, you do not need my permission to do ministry? That's what I'm talking about. You are empowered. You are a royal priesthood.
That's right.
Act like it. Right? You are empowered to go and do ministry. You don't have to ask me. Now, if you want to do something more formal at the church, we do have a process, and I'll get to that in a second, just in case you got one in mind. But you can minister right where you are. And in fact, I'm encouraging you to do that because you know people and you reach people that I will never know and never reach. In fact, they don't have any interest in talking to a guy with titles in front of his name, like knucklehead. Just kidding. All right, so resource allocation in a maintenance church, it's spent on internal needs. Now, again, hesitation, pause, caveat. When you have a campus, you have to keep it up. There are definite costs to having buildings. And who likes air conditioning and heat? I'm a big fan. See what I did there? Oh, it just gets better, and now you're wishing I was back in the woods. All right. Yeah, so it's going to take some of that. But the question is, do we put it all into that, or do we raise enough that we can also do the outreach? That's the question. So in a mission-oriented church, there are significant investments in missions. If you remember what we did on Christmas Eve here, we took up an offering, and every dollar, every cent of that offering went where? To compassion. Yeah, so, well, to Sealy, yeah. And into the compassion fund. The compassion fund is the fund that we put things that goes everywhere but here, right? So we're trying. We're doing our best. Can we do better? Absolutely. But we're on the right track. I want to encourage you in that. The growth measure in a maintenance church is always about attendance and financial stability. So how many people are in the seats? How many dollars are in the budget? Now, a quick word on financial stability. Man, it would be great if we had regular, steady giving. Because I don't know if you've ever tried to plan a church budget or tried to plan church projects. And you sit down and you go, man, are we going to have enough? I don't know. I hope the end of year is better than the middle of the year has been. Should we do this? I don't know. Let's step out on faith and see if the money shows up. I spend occasional sleepless nights going, man, I hope this works. So this is my plea to stewardship. If you are a regular giver, please be a regular giver. That's just my encouragement. It's going to make what we do here and our mission so much easier where we don't have to second guess. Do we have it or do we not? Do we step out on faith? Yeah, we can do that. But you know what I'd rather step out on? Solid stewardship. That's my hand. That's my plea to you. So financial stability, yes. But in the mission church, we often track the disciples made and the leaders developed. What if, instead of attendance and finance, we logged baptisms? We logged confessions of faith. We logged how many people were introduced to Christ for the first time. How would we do? Just pause for a second and think about that. Would those numbers look good? Would Jesus look at those numbers and go, man, I love a good spreadsheet. That's awesome. You guys are doing great. This is not meant to shame or to guilt. This is meant to refocus us. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is, what's our mission?
Make disciples.
That's what we should be all about. So keep that in mind. We also, in the risk tolerance, the maintenance church avoids any risk. No change. We don't want to change. We fear change. Now, sometimes traditions are good and we keep them, but sometimes we need to branch out and experiment and do something new. The old saying goes, if you want to keep getting what you've been getting, keep doing what you've been doing. And as I look at those denominational trends of going down, if we keep doing what we've been doing, we're going to keep getting what we've been getting, which is not good. So are we helpless in this? Or has God equipped us with brains, with creativity, with innovation, with entrepreneurs in the midst of us? Yeah, we can change what we're doing. We can be effective. We can reach even this generation. Imagine that. I wonder how many people in the Bible said, is there any way to reach this generation? I mean, man, they are so far gone. I sound like my grandpa. Yes, his name is Jesus. This is no surprise to him. He's reached every generation so far. Why would he stop now? He's not stopping, so let's not stop on him. Fair deal?
Deal.
All right, I got one. That's all it takes. Two or more, right? All right, embraces the change and advances the gospel. So that's the difference between mission and maintenance. And so what we're going to do is we're going to delve into the text to a church who looked at this difference between mission and maintenance and made a tough choice. But I want you to ask yourself through the rest of this time together this question: am I on mission or am I in maintenance? And if you want to think like a church, you could substitute that with plural. Are we on mission or are we in maintenance? We're going to delve into Acts 13. If you're following along, Acts 13, 1 through 3. The setting is a church at Antioch. Antioch became a big church because of the persecution in Rome that caused all these people to flee. And so they're setting up these centers. This is the beauty of the gospel, right? When you press down in one place, it pops up in like 10 others. It's awesome. So they're in Antioch. They've got a thriving church. They've got two guys there that have been teaching for a year. You may have heard of them, Paul and Barnabas. And they're excellent teachers. So let's see the challenge and the struggle between maintaining what we have or sending out in mission. Here's what it says. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. These are the words of God for the people of God, and for these words, we are grateful. Did you hear what that said? Two of their best teachers that had been teaching there for a year that were probably responsible for some of that church's growth, and they sent them away. Now, was that by vote? Did they vote them off the island? No, who sent them? See, and that's the difference. It's not just our good idea. It's literally the Holy Spirit saying, set apart for me these people. I've called them. And then were they just passive in this? Oh, okay, yeah, we'll do that. What else did they do? That's the church. It's right there in the text. They prayed and fasted. How many times have we fasted and prayed over something seriously important? How many times have we really taken this to ground and say, the most important thing, even more important than eating right now, is to hear a word from the Lord? Oh, and then to enter it into a spreadsheet. I couldn't resist, sorry. Right? So the apostles, what does that mean? Literally, it means the apostolos in the Greek is to send, the sent one, right? The problem with the modern church is we think that means I'm going to send $1 bills somewhere else for someone else to do the work of the ministry. We sent one. That's my $1. No, it's to send people, to send resources, to send out and away. That's literally what it means. It's always God's plan. It's not human's plan. That's the important part to remember. And it's Holy Spirit led. So there's some significance to that, because if we aren't listening for the Holy Spirit, if we aren't in tune with the Holy Spirit, we're going to miss that call. We're going to miss the direction. We might hear that we need to be sent out, but we might miss the direction. And if we get sent out in the wrong direction, you can do a lot of stuff. You can spin a lot of wheels and spend a lot of money, but you won't make an impact for the kingdom if it's not Holy Spirit led. It's important to listen. You can say, ready, aim, fire, or you can say, ready, fire, aim. Let's do the ready, aim, fire by asking the Holy Spirit to speak with us. And finally, it's always choosing mission over maintenance. We can't be content just to sit back and do nothing, just to maintain what we have, because if you do what you've always done, you get what you always got. And if that's what we want, if we want to hand that off to the next generation and say, good luck with this declining membership in this church that used to be great and used to impact our society, now we're just chasing society. We're not shaping society, we're chasing society. We've got it backwards. We should be forming society. We should be shaping the culture around us. And if we don't do that, what does the future look like? That's why we need apostles. So, when you talk about apostolic leadership, and I don't mean necessarily standing up in front of people and leading the team, let's start with just leading me. Let's start with leading a family. Let's start with leading the group of people that we hang around. And if it turns into more of a formalized role in the church or an organization, then we can also lead there too. But it starts with us. thinking in terms of pioneering, breaking new ground, innovative approaches. Now, there's a word of caution that always goes with innovative approaches, because people see something newfangled come out and they go, oh, that seems kind of weird. I don't know if that's what Jesus approved. Well, here's the litmus test. Just like the Bereans in Scripture, take everything that is coming, this innovative approach that's coming, test it against this word. Take it to prayer. Listen for the Holy Spirit. And you've got a triumvirate right there. Three things are going to point you, yeah, that's a good one. Go with that. Or, no, yeah, let's stay away from that one. See, we're not doing this recklessly. We're not just jumping on the bandwagon of whatever's new and shiny. We're purposeful about this if we're doing it right. Innovators, creativity, vision. Did I mention we're forming a vision team? Man, wouldn't it be great if we had some people sitting in this room who had the ability to be apostolic? I think they're out there. And you know how I'm going to learn? When you take the 5Q tests that came in your email. I didn't say that in announcements because I didn't want to pile on, but our response rate, it's not so good. Do you detect a trend here? If you receive that email, please take the test. And I'm not just doing this to say, oh, you're this, I'm going to cram you into this. No, I want you to know where you come alive. But this is how God wired you. And when you work in that puzzle piece that you are wired for, it's not something that you have to do. It's something that you get to do. It's not something that drains energy out of you. It's something that gives you life. This is your passion. This is what you were built for. Let me help you find that and watch this church come alive. It's amazing what happens. God will multiply your time. I'm pretty much guaranteeing that, or your money back. All right. But here's the interesting thing. The apostles are also custodians of the DNA of the church. And what the bullet says, it's the custodians of core ideas that guard and transmit essential truths to future generations. See, people sometimes think, well, they're always out there making changes. They're changing everything, and they're changing the truth. They're diluting the word of Christ. They're changing our doctrine. No, actually, if you're a true apostle, you're making sure that that's the first and foremost thing. I use the analogy of those little sprinklers that you fasten onto the end of the hose, and it has a dial. I don't know if you've seen these, but you can dial it, and it shoots like this. You dial it down, and then it shoots like this, and you get the square pattern and the round pattern and then the little whirly bird thing. Am I the only one that has one of those? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So you can change it, because wherever you put it in your yard, you may have different requirements. I need the water just to hit this, or I need the water to hit all of this. And so you change what you're doing. You're innovating the way that you deliver that. But you know what doesn't change? Water is still water, right? We're not diluting the word. The word is still the word. Just the way that we deliver it might look a little different. But let's stay true to the word, because that's what true apostles do. All right, reimagining ministry is another fun thing that apostles do. So you'll see that in a couple ways, to redesigning programs, making them more holistic and mission-driven. So a few weeks ago, I mentioned this possibility. You know, we have community groups, and the community groups meet and they study the Bible. And then at least once a semester, we ask them to do a service project, because we never want to just study the word and forget about serving the world, right? What if you flip that? What if your group that you met did mission projects and occasionally studied the word? I just blew somebody's brain, right? Can you do that? Is that allowed? Sure. Why not? I'm not saying abandon the word. Again, Bill said don't read the Bible. That's not what I said. I didn't say don't read the Bible. I said study the Bible, but also maybe flip the script. Just for a semester, try it out. Do your mission projects. That's what you do as a group. And then talk about the word. See, I'm convinced that we know way more about the word than we do the word. What if we did the word and let that catch up to what we know? Wouldn't that be amazing? I think it would be fantastic. Embracing genuine growth, they prioritize discipleship and spiritual growth. Let me pause there, because I don't want to give you the impression that I'm trying to quell initiative here. And here's what I mean. If you come to our governing body, we have a process. Like I said, you can do ministry wherever you want. You're empowered to do that. We have a process. And guess what? The very first question we say, hey, I want to do this. The first question that we ask, anybody know what that is? That's pretty close. Does it make a better disciple? Yeah. Does it make a better disciple? And that might be the person that we're serving. Does it make them a better disciple? Or it might be us. Does it make us a better disciple? If the answer is no, we don't do that. That sounds harsh. Until you think about this. There's only so much time. There's only so much money. There's only so much gifting. Our bench isn't super deep. So we have to be picky about what we do. And personally, I would rather do a few things well than many things poorly. So that's the first litmus test. Does it make a better disciple? Yes, no. No, then we don't just throw you out. We say, let us help you find some place that does that, and you can serve alongside them. But for us, as for me and my house, we're going to do what we're equipped to do, and it has to make a better disciple. After that, we go through another set of things, and just to hit it briefly, in case you're thinking that you want to do a ministry, remember this. Face, place, time, and dime. Face, place, time, dime. If you're going to come to us with a ministry idea, you have to have a face that leads it. We can't do it all. You can't load that onto the staff, because that's basically me and Jaron. well, now it's gotten bigger, right? But still, this shouldn't be staff-driven, because it's going to be the bottleneck to everything that we do in ministry. That's why we're empowering people. You have to have a face to run it. You have to have a place. If you need a physical space to do that, we'll arrange that. If you need it, you know, on a regular basis, we'll schedule that. Or maybe you come to us and say, I've got that place. Time, is it weekly? Is it seasonal? Like Operation Christmas Child only happens a certain time? We need to figure that out and deconflict. And then finally, dime. Bet you can't guess what that one is. Yeah, do we have the money to do this? Or do you have the capability to raise the funds to do that? Right? So face, place, time, dime. Starting with, does it make a better disciple? That's how it works here at WordServe. You are empowered to do ministry. You are a royal priesthood. I'm pretty sure I read that in here, right? That's how it works here. All right, I just said WordServe. I meant Union Chapel. All right, so embracing growth, prioritizing discipleship and spiritual growth, not just attendance. I mean, if you want to look at, well, so how close have I gotten to Jesus in 2024? Let's see, I attended church 50 out of the 52 weeks. So I must be pretty close to Jesus. Is that how we measure that? How do you measure that? Yeah, the heart change. Do I look, do I speak, do I act more like Jesus? That's what we should be measuring. That's what we should be after. Francis Chan has an interview. I'll put this into the link in the website when I post this sermon. He did. He has a fascinating mind. It, good luck keeping up with it, by the way. But one of the things he said is, do you ever notice how there were two communist countries that were overcome and they kind of tried to squash Christianity? You had the former Soviet Union and you had China. Now you have one church that's underground that is thriving and one church that doesn't exist. What's the difference? The difference is, in the former Soviet Union, the churches were there for the church's sake. It was for, you attended, you heard all the wonderful music, you heard the preaching, but you never learned how to grow in Christ. You never learned how to make a disciple. See, disciple making is not something that I only do. It's something that we do. That's why it's our mission, not my mission. If we never learn to make disciples, you can hear the terminology sometimes this way. It's like, you know, I'm just not being fed anymore. If you come and ask me that question, or you tell me that, Bill, I'm just not being fed anymore, you know what I'm going to ask you first? Who are you feeding? How long have you been eating and you haven't learned to feed another? That's making disciples. So that's our mission. That's the one job that Jesus gave us to do. So we need to learn at some point to make disciples. And if we don't, we lose our impact. So guess what happened in China? They knew, as a church, how to make disciples. Guess what church today is thriving underground, is one of the fastest growing churches in the world? China. There you go, because they learned to make disciples. They learned to decentralize. They learned to live into Christ. That's what we should be about, too, and that's what apostles will do for us. All right, there's also a balance to this, like every other gift. If you have too many apostles, there's going to be constant change, so much change that you can never find your footing, right? That's instability. Pastor Eric talked about that last week. That's the disequilibrium. If you don't have enough, though, you have a possibility of losing your mission and stagnating. And we've already talked about that enough. I don't think I need to belabor that point, but you get the idea. There needs to be a balance. So here's how we start to activate this gift for us. All right, number one, discover your role. How do you do that, Bill? There's a test. It's been emailed to you if you're a member. If you didn't get that email and you're not a member, you have two choices. Become a member or let us know you want to take the test. We'll make an exception. We are paying for these things because it's that important to us. We think this is an investment. This is not a cost. This is an investment. So if you really want to take that test and you haven't got the email, check your spam first and then let us know and consider becoming a member. All right, step into your calling. This isn't something you go, oh, on this, that's cool. That's good to know. And go on your way. No, this is what you are wired to do. Find a way to do that. It's what God created you for. And finally, be ready to move. I don't mean like physically move to another state. That might happen. I'm not saying it won't. But here's the thing about apostles. It's not just sending out. If you look back on the innovation, the visionary, the creativity, they're taking things that are already there and redesigning, repurposing. In this environment, the entire world is moving here. So we don't have to go very far to impact different cultures. We don't have to go very far to shape culture around us. They're coming to us. This is a bonus because I probably get to stay put physically while I impact the world around me. It's coming to my doorstep. I think God has put us here for such a time as this in a place like this so that we can be his church. Let's not miss that opportunity. Be ready to move. All right, so there might be a tendency for you to say, well, you know, we've been doing all this work. We've been having the unity team. We finally got the churches coming together. Now, is it complete? Yes and no. In substance, we are operating as one church. In legal terms, however, the paperwork has to catch up. So we're not officially that yet, but we will be. We're working that too. So, yeah, whew, man, we're done. I can rest. It's a finish line. No, actually, it's a starting line. See, God has equipped us and brought us together, not to a finish line. It's just beginning. The adventure is just about to begin. This is not a finish line. It's a starting line. I want you to get that into your mentality. I want you to get that into your spirit. We're just getting ready to go, folks. This is an exciting adventure, and I hope you're up for it. And if you're not, let's talk about ways that we can get you there. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to take a test. Did I mention that? How many times can he say that? I don't know. Identify those apostolic leaders. Those are the people who are always pushing for innovation and change. And if you're the person who prefers stability, you're not going to like these people. I'm just going to be honest. You don't have to like them. That's never a rule in church. You do not have to like each other, but you do have to love each other. All right? So leave it at that. And then support the new ministries and the outreach. It may not be your exact thing, but let's not at least poo-poo it until we have a chance to see if God's in it. All right? Or maybe there's something I can do for that. I'm not the person to go out and be the upfront person. You know what I'm really good at? I'm good at computers, but I don't want to be in front of people. Well, do you think we ever need like spreadsheets and signups and tracking and all those kinds of things? What if you went to that person who is that person out front and said, I'm really good with fill in the blank. Can you use that in this new ministry in a way that fits the way that I'm wired? If you can't find that, come to me. I'll bet I can plug you in. That's not a brag. That's just a let's figure this out. All right? Finally, this is one of my favorite quotes. A ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. See, as we look at this ship called Union Chapel, we're not built to sit in the harbor. We're not built to sit here and look pretty. And so for our specific background and our DNA, when we come to this, you're not going to see the most polished building. You might, I don't know, meet in the fellowship hall because all of our money, not all of our money, a lot of our money goes outside. That's okay. We don't need another ship that is the exhibition. We don't need another ship that sits at port and looks pretty and is always shiny and glossy and you can tour it and enjoy the atmosphere. We need ships that sail. This isn't a reckless thing. This is a purpose thing. This is what we are built for. We don't need a ship that anchors, a ship that sits. We need a ship that sails. You know, it's said that a lot of times there is no growth in your comfort zone. You know what else doesn't exist in your comfort zone? Purpose. Meaning. Passion. Growth. All of those things exist outside of our comfort zone. We are not called to sit in the harbor. We're called to set sail. Folks, will you set sail with us on this adventure? If you're willing, or if you're questioning, let's take that to prayer. Will you pray with me, please? God, thank you for a mission unlike any other. A mission that your Son came and showed us so well to save this world out of a love for those people who are lost. And God, if we're honest, a lot of times that's us. We might know you, but we tend to wander, occasionally get lost, off track, off mission. God, my prayer this morning is that we try to piece these things together and figure out who we are and how we fit into this giant puzzle. Help us to have the confidence that you already know that. You already know how you made us, where we belong, where we fit in, and what we can do. So God, my prayer isn't that we would discover that on our own. My prayer is that we would listen to the one who created us, the one who designed us for purpose, the one who designed us to set sail and to not sit by and watch the world in safe harbor. God, help us to be protected as we go out. Help us to recognize that sometimes the seas will be calm, sometimes stormy, but the most important thing is I'd rather be in a lifeboat in a stormy sea with Jesus than on an aircraft carrier in the middle of a calm sea. God, help us to have that kind of passion. Help us to draw close to you. Help us to hear from you. Help us to glorify and honor your name. It's in Jesus' name I pray.